Looking back on that now, do you think what we do now with recruiting is too much? Do you think there was anything you look back and go, wow, that was really over the top, I've got 80 reporters? Or do you think just, hey, that's the way it is and nothing the matter with that, and hey, we were the number, you know, I was a top recruiter? Do you think it was we make too big a deal of high school recruiting and the focus we give to high school players?
You know, to some degree, I think so. I think at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. You know, that all goes on. As soon as you get into school and get enrolled, it tends to fade away, and what you do speaks for itself there. You know, it is a unique deal, though. You've got guys that oftentimes you're starting up, you know, they go to college when they're 18, 19, but at the beginning, they're 16, 17 years old. A lot of times they're looking to their parents for guidance, or if they don't have that, they're looking for coaches. And it's hard. I mean, a lot of times they don't have, and this is not a new problem, I don't think. It goes all the way back to your days playing, I'm sure, where guys have that pressure.
I don't mind that. That's okay. I'm good with that.
Well, you know, the only difference is we don't have the neck rolls. And
yeah, that's right.
The mustaches are coming back, though.
That's so right. Mustaches are coming back.
You know, like I said, I don't think it's a terribly unique problem. I think more than anything, what has changed is the public access, not only to that information, but to alter that information and to have input. That's certainly been a big deal. And, you know, it's hard when you're 16, 17, 18 years old to ignore a lot of that.
You know? Yeah, I was going to ask you that same question to follow up. I remember blogs and internet were big then. And so, and I know even, I think your mom got involved with some of that. And so as a high school player, and these are all fans out here, what's it like to actually, for you, being, like you said, 16 or 17 years have the time to get on there, how did that affect you and you trying to make the decision? Talk about a little bit about that process.
Well, I think the hard thing is to pull yourself out of the vacuum of that world and realize that it's a much bigger world, that there are people who will have an honest conversation and will be perhaps a little more respectful about it. You know, it's hard enough, and you know, everybody knows it's hard enough when you're a 16, 17-year-old regardless, just living life. I mean, you're not terribly rational to begin with. And then you throw all this on top of it, and you know, you're wondering, oh, what am I going to do? And you know, you may have outside influence from whether they be coaches or peers or boosters or whatever the case may be. You're going to have different contacts and people pushing you one way. And Arkansas, again, you know, on top of that, another level down is a unique state. And Arkansas is the flagship university, and there's really not a whole lot of divide. Everybody's got Razorback gear on. They're flying the flags, and they're going to know why you did, you know, they're not going to wonder why you didn't go to UAPB or whatever it may be. There you go. There's one. Sorry, I won't speak for everyone. But, I mean, that's the reality of it. You go anywhere else, there's multiple schools. Arkansas is very unique in that regard. And so all that kind of layers on top of each other and can make it really hard for a kid if he doesn't have the right filters and the right people around him to ease up on that.
That being the case, obviously your mom's involved, you know, on the internet. And the one thing you'll notice too, I think at the very beginning of the movie, I think there's a shot of your dad throwing the football with you. And I think.
And that was my uncle.
It was your uncle.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's what my next question. We don't hear much about your dad. For those who don't know the background, what's the relationship you had with your dad? Was it basically you and your mom together, or what kind of involvement did your dad have with you?
Yeah, they were divorced when I was really young, 5 or 6. My mom raised the four of us on her own. I have a relationship with my dad, but you know, he certainly wasn't influential in the decision making.
Let's go ahead and fast forward real quick to a few folks in the U of A situation. You know, you've had the dust has settled, you've made this documentary. What are your reflections of Coach Nutt and your time at Arkansas? Well, listen, he talks about it in the movie. I'm just giving you a tease for Friday and Saturday and Sunday.
That's a lot easier when you're talking to a camera and there's nothing behind it. Yeah, put me on the spot. You know, it was a bad situation, I think, from the beginning. There were a lot of promises made that shouldn't have been made, a lot of expectations created that, looking back on it now, couldn't have been fulfilled. It was just the nature of it. You know, you're not going to be able to change somebody like that. And so, you know, I think it's something we all wanted. I told that story about Paul Eales because, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people will wonder, well, is it something you wanted? Well, we all grew up listening to Razorback football, watching it, wanting to play Razorback football. I didn't know anything else. I really didn't follow sports that much, still don't. So that's what we knew. You know, I didn't care about Texas football or Notre Dame football, whatever it may be. Didn't even know Southern California had a football team. You know, we wanted to play Razorback football. The only thing holding us back was what was going to happen when we got there. There wasn't a great history leading up to that time. And so I think there were legitimate, serious questions that needed to be answered, and they were answered, albeit untruthfully, I believe.
Ironically, if some of you may remember, that your senior year we had Gus Malzahn speak to the Touchdown Club the year you guys were number one, and I actually flew back with Gus to Springdale, and I remember he asked me, he said, do you think Houston is going to make it? You know, and little did I know, it wouldn't be long before he would be hired. Talk about your relationship with Gus and maybe how, you know, a little bit of that dynamic of how that came together with Gus Houston and you.
Yeah, well, I don't know how it came together. it did. You know, my relationship with Gus is pretty well like you'd expect of a former player coach. Certainly we had a very close relationship. We worked quite a few years together, and one of the reasons Gus is so successful is because he's very attentive and he's very demanding. So there was a lot of time that we spent working, honing what we're doing. I mean, what you saw wasn't necessarily an anomaly. We had a very good year. I had very good teammates, but it was a lot of work. I mean, he worked us harder than really probably any other teams we played, and it showed. You know, how that relationship came about beyond that with all three of us, you know, I think there was a lot of pressure on Houston at that time. He lost a few games that he shouldn't have. Vanderbilt comes to mind in 2005, I believe. You know, a lot of talk, a lot of stuff that wasn't really getting done. And I think he felt the pressure on him. And like I said, we were just looking for, really at the time, naively and somewhat foolishly, anything that we could have to say, okay, let's kind of, you know, to buffer what we felt was a problem. Like I said, it was kind of destined from the beginning not to work, but that's the way it worked out, and they hired Gus, and they kind of persuaded all of us.
Yeah, did you feel as a player as you were going through that season, it sounded like if you watched the documentary, there's a lot of miscommunication or not good communication amongst everybody. Was that what you sensed as well?
Yeah, well, certainly. You know, I mentioned the documentary, but early on there was a lot of, you know, we come in with high expectations. Damian and I enrolled. We graduated on a Saturday, moved into the dorm on Sunday, and started class the next Monday, that Monday. So there's 3 days. We just went from high school to college, and we were working out and in class and whatnot. And there were a lot of clues early on that it wasn't going to work with us. And just going to summer workouts, you know, you go and it's player-led. You're not allowed to have coaches out there. And so we were kind of given the instructions. Here's what today's install is. Here's what we need to work on. And it was pretty clear about a couple of weeks into that, once we got into July, that things were starting to kind of to morph back away from what we were doing. And I remember asking Gus about it, and, hey, what's going on with this? Why this is not what we do. This isn't what we've talked about. And the idea was, well, we just need to slow it down for guys. We just need to – so we kind of morphed it into a hybrid offense. And so we were using the old protections, the old formations and protections with the new plays, and it was confusing everybody. You had the older guys who were used to the older terminology, and they weren't getting the new stuff, and then the new guys, the younger guys, weren't understanding the old stuff. And so it really created an imbalance. And then, you know, what happened with Gus in Houston beyond that, I can't speak to that. But
you do reference in the book, it was Year of the Dog, I think is the name of it, that you I remember you made you addressed this in the movie, the documentary, about the comments you made about Coach Nutt. Just reflections maybe on that and that whole story.
Well, I'll give you the story, I guess. in case you're not familiar, yeah, I forget what game it was. There have been some criticism. It's a long time ago.
For the Razorbacks, with Coach Nutt coaching.
Certainly, Coach Nutt and the Razorbacks, about the play calling and whether he was calling them or they were being audibled. And he made a comment following a game, and it was...
I made that call.
Yeah,
that was
right.
Famous.
And he made a comment to Chuck Barrett that he, basically mocking, I guess you could say, the fans, whoever it may be, the media. And it came across to me as terribly unprofessional. That was just my opinion of it. I was very frank about it. If there's one thing you will learn about me, is that I'm very frank and honest about what I'm seeing or what I think. I don't really to dance around it, and I didn't. And there just happened to be a guy who was writing a book in the room, and it made it to the book.
It comes out a year later.
It comes out a year
when
later.
You were in high school.
Very, very good timing. It came out. It came out about two. It was either a week or two before the South Carolina game in 2006, which was kind of a key point in my career. So yeah, that was that. I certainly don't regret the comments that I made. I think they were honest. I think they were true. But it's also kind of bad relations when you're working for someone if you've been a little disparaging.
Right. Yes, Kelly, it's that far right one. Yeah, it's one of those. It's that panel right there. Thank you. I was gonna ask it. You know, we'll go ahead and fast forward. We'll let folks, you know, ask a few questions in a second. Let's go to USC. You mentioned you didn't know to play football at Southern Cal. What made you decide to go out there? I don't know, a lot of folks, you know, they read the you know, you've been arrested on the prescription drug issue, and a lot of people thought, oh my gosh, there he goes. He's going crazy out there. Just talk about that period in your life.
Well, yeah, I chose to go to USC, and I believe I say this in the film as well. I'd seen one side of college football. I'd seen a team that was really average and was run what I felt was not the way it should be run, was not the way I would expect the team to be run. And I looked out to Southern California and what Pete Carroll was doing at that time, which was right off the height of the Liner Bush era. He had it rolling as much as any program's ever been, with the exception of possibly Alabama in the last few years. It was a place where quarterbacks got developed. It was a place where players were developed and were treated like football players. I mean, you were expected to get to work and to go to class and do that, but it was no real dancing around it. If you could play, you could play, and they were going to help you. And that's really what I was looking for. I knew that I'd played at Arkansas and was unhappy, and I knew that as long as I was playing at a place that I didn't buy into their philosophy, I didn't believe what they were doing, I wasn't going to be happy with it. So Southern California really was the best option in that regard. I remember Carol calling and offering the opportunity, and it was kind of hard to say no to it. And so I took a visit, and I was pretty sure I liked what I saw, and I'd known a lot of the guys that I'd played with and you know, all-star games and whatnot. And so that was kind of it for me. I went to Southern California and, you know, really kind of navigated the whole thing. I had to sit out a year. 2008, I went head-to-head with Sanchez in the spring. Did pretty well, but he got the nod to that. I think he was in his third year at that point. Had a good season. Then Barkley came in 09, and that was that. I ended up a backup for the last 2 years.
Go ahead and talk about that. Then after that, the prescription.
Okay, I'll
be honest with that. It's in the documentary. I started taking Adderall for ADHD about the 08, 09. I think it was 09 maybe. And really didn't like the way it affected me and decided to get off of it. Had some extras lying around. I mean, if you've been on a college campus, that stuff floats around. It's more, you know, probably more common than bubble gum. And so decided to sell it. Got busted for it, and anyway, had to work through that deal, and that was, a blessing in disguise. It was kind of a shift in my focus and my attention at that point.
I was going to ask real quick, back up, was Lane Kiffin on the staff at the time you were there?
No, he left the year before I got.
Okay, we're going to take a final timeout here. It's 12:47. We're at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. Interesting Q&A with David Basil and Mitch Mustaine there, Phil Ellis and Justin Akery.